How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Living the dream.
You sure are. Well, we were just, you know, it's so crazy. We're just checking your app and 881 million prayers prayed. That's amazing.
God does cool things.
He does.
That's amazing, man.
Well, welcome to Saints in the City show. I'm just so excited to have you. You were on my bucket list to interview. Yeah, it's amazing.
Glory to God.
Yeah, man.
So, all right, I have to start. My mother, Laura Bonnie, is your biggest fan. I'm going to do a quick shout out to my mom. And
she loves the app so much.
She loves the app so much. My mother will put her AirPods in. And we almost had to like say, Mom, 2 hours is more than enough. Come back to us. I mean, we're big. We use the app every single day. But it's just, yeah, she's like, okay, 1 hour in prayer every morning. That's all I need.
It.
So she loves you. She's going to scream when she knows that we interviewed you.
Praise God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool to hear. Yeah. It's cool to get to pray with everybody. My mom uses the app all the time, but she just texts me when there's a mistake. So that's usually.
Wow. That's, like a mom's voice.
That's a mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Awesome. Do you sometimes just look at that clock? Do you look at it like every day, or is it something that you're just like used to now, or you just praise God? Like, hey man, look at this number keep going up here.
Yeah, it's fun. Like every once in a while as a team, we get to, you know, celebrate it. And, you know, when we cross big numbers, it's a fun thing to celebrate. But I don't know, you know, the thing about numbers is like it's never, I mean, it's cool because it reflects prayers and people praying, which is awesome. Yeah. But it's never like the numbers, you don't find fulfillment in numbers, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, had you told me that like there'd be a million, And it was interesting, especially at the beginning, like when we crossed 100,000 prayers prayed, I was like, that's crazy. Like, that's insane. When you cross like a million, it's like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like 10 million. It's like, okay, 100 million. It's like 200 million, 300 million. It's just, you know, it's just God bragging. So it's
God
not
flexing.
It, like the difference for me between like 500 million and a billion is like, I don't even know what those numbers mean. Like I can't, if I tried to look out in a, you know, and see that many people or something, like I just, but the thing that really gets us is just these notes of people using the app and what God does in their life and just getting to journey with them. And there's these, I mean, it's just these incredible miracles in people's lives of people in really tough, really dark places finding God's love and hope and peace. And so each of those numbers or each of those prayers prayed or downloads or whatever it is for me is just like a reminder of somebody who God gets to, you know, spend a little bit more time with today, which is that'll keep, you know, one story though, like there's a woman who was going to end her life, a young woman, 15-year-old who was going to end her own life who didn't because she started praying with the app. And like that one story, you know, I'd work for like 50
enough.
Years for that, you know?
Yeah,
for sure.
And
that's
so
awesome, man.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask, cause we've seen your other interviews and I wanted to ask you why a Catholic specific app? Like, what was it? What did you see there was something missing? I mean, obviously we're Catholic and we absolutely love it, but what made you say, no, I'm going with a Catholic app?
Did it just feel familiar from your childhood? Or was it something bigger than that?
Well, I guess there's two questions in there. The one is, the one is like, why am I Catholic, I guess?
Yeah, exactly.
The other is why is the app?
Yeah.
And I mean, the second one is a lot easier. Like, you know, I'm Catholic and it's changed my life. It's the coolest part of my life is the Eucharist and confession and the sacraments and the beauty of the church and the saints and Mary, our mother. And everything about being Catholic is just amazing. I mean, it's like it's awesome. Yeah. I love it to death.
All smiles here.
I'm sure you guys can relate.
100%.
But, and like, it would suck to build an app that wasn't the thing you wanted, you know, I mean, we built the first thing just for me and it would feel, I mean, I don't know how people would build something where it's not, you know, people have asked me, you know, would you ever build, you know, a version of Halo for Islam or for Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever. And you know, my answer is like, I don't, you know, I'm happy to help those guys if there's somebody building something to provide advice or whatever. But you know, I'm not the right person to build that. No. It didn't change my life. I don't know what it is. It's not the thing that I get excited about. Like, we were just talking about like content we're going to do next, and I just love it. Cause it's like, oh, that thing changed my life, or that thing is changing my life. Or like, I get to sit in these recording sessions and just pray with people. And so, I don't know, for me, it was just building what I was passionate about, which is hopefully, I don't know. The goal is to be something that's authentically Catholic. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, there's no doubt about what it is.
Yeah.
But that can be something where anybody who's interested in Christian spirituality can come together and grow closer in a relationship with the Lord. Like, there's not some gatekeeping thing at the beginning. It's just like, hey, we're all here to pray, and we have a bunch of brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, but are Christian or are interested in Christianity or something on the app. And it's an honor to get to pray with everybody. But, I don't know, the other part of that question, like why Catholic, I mean, it's mostly John 6. It's mostly the Eucharist at the beginning, I guess, was what it was. And certainly still, you know, is the summit of my prayer life. And, but I mean, it's just everything about the church, everything about the beauty of the church's spirituality and the saints. Yeah. And especially when you think about, you know, what we're doing and what I'm really passionate about in my own life, which is this contemplative and mystical prayer and the whole goal of the app is just to try to lead you in your interior life and lead you to contemplation and meditation. And, you know, St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, and the mystical tradition of the church, I mean, there's just nothing that even comes close.
Nothing.
You know, it's just, there's nothing anywhere else that even touches it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's such a rich, and that's even them, like St. Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, obviously the doctors of the church and mystical prayer, but even them are just like, those two are just like scratching the surface of the beauty of what the church offers. And so it's, and what the history of the church offers. And so, for me, it's just been this wealth of, just beauty and like life-changing traditions and treasure. So I don't know. Yeah, I like being Catholic.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of like the story. We talked to His Eminence, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, and I said, like, I was modeling and acting in New York for almost 20 years, and I went back to the church. I had a very dark moment. I mean, I'm not to rehash it, but I could have gone to any church. I mean, there was Hillsong. There was a whole bunch of different, you know, more, you know, entertainment type of churches.
And like you, I
feel like you talked about this. I kind of deviated from my faith as I was living my dream, trying to make it in New York. And even when I gained success, I was not fulfilled and I was missing something. And I knew God was calling me back home in terms of coming back to the church. Like, you need to come back. And there is a specific moment in my life where that he kind of like, I say he did the like moonstruck slap me, like snap out of it, like come back to me. But I did. And I found a church. But you had the same kind of story too. Like, you know, so what is that like for you to, I got a lot of pushback. I got a lot of people who were not happy with me and like, why are you talking about this, Sarah? And why are you doing this? And because Sundays, let's go to brunch. Nope, I got to go to mass. And so those friends kind of faded away, or I was mocked. It's fine. But did you go through that? Is there a moment where you were like, holy cow, I'm definitely going in a different direction?
Yeah, I mean, I was in Silicon Valley for the first few years of my kind of coming back to faith. And Silicon Valley is like, if you were to pick, I mean, I guess, you know, modeling New York is pretty similar, but maybe, you know, there's pieces of LA too, but
the bubble's big.
Silicon Valley is about as anti-Christian as you can get. It was weird. But it also had this power to it, which was like, I grew up in Ohio where it was, you know, like 30%, 40% of people were Catholic. They would go to church, and the rest of folks would still go to church, but a different church. And so it was very normal. And most folks, and especially most kids, would just go to church because their parents, you know, told them to, or because everybody else did. And it was part of a community thing or whatever. But in Silicon Valley, there's like, you know, six people that are Catholic.
Yeah.
And so
it's
like, but what that does, I mean, I guess it could feel isolating and it, but what it does, especially for a new, like someone like I was, who was new to his faith, it like, you feel like you're in this rebel church, like you're in the early days of like, and you have to have this,
so crazy.
like it almost gives you this fire where it's like, yeah, this isn't normal. Like this, and Christianity isn't. Like it's, we live in this unique time where, you know, there's a couple billion Christians, but it's not normal. And, and part of, I think what we get so stuck with being raised Christian or Catholic is, you know, you just hear these things and it's like, oh yeah, Jesus forgives sins.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, how insane is that for a guy to come and say, I forgive a sin that you committed against another, but like, that's a crazy thing to, or the Eucharist, like that, that's insane. I mean, what are you, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And so there's like the radicality of the faith, and the craziness of it is, I don't know, it makes it a lot more concrete when you live in a place where there's really nobody else. So, so like you have to be, well, you have to know your faith decently well. You get questioned on it all the time and you're just this weirdo. So it's like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll go to adoration, but like, I don't know anybody else that's going to adoration. Yeah. So what is this and what, why am I doing this? Yeah. But what it does is it creates this community of people that are really on fire. Like, like, and I'd much rather be surrounded by four people that are really on fire with the love of Christ in their hearts than 100 people that go to church because they're supposed to, you know? Yeah. I'd much rather be around the folks who are like really trying to love the Lord. Like that for me helps me so much to grow deeper in my own faith. It's like, no, it's like I'm supposed to give everything to this guy, not like I'm not supposed to check boxes or I'm not supposed to do what I'm supposed to or whatever it is. It's like, no, this is a like a relationship that's supposed to take over my life.
Yeah.
And that for me was a lot easier in this place where there was like four or five other people who were like, yeah, okay, this is our whole, cause it makes it your whole identity, you know, like it, it changes every, it's like, no, this, you're the Catholic guy. And that's cool. So I don't know, for me it was fun, but it's, it certainly comes with, it certainly comes with, you know, you don't go on all the ski trips and parties and brunches and stuff that
it's
everybody
worth
else
it,
does.
Though. It's worth it. Well, I was going to say to, sorry, babe. Did you happen to have one or two people who were in that bubble come to you like and say, maybe even privately, because I got a lot of people like, you know, it's there quietly, they couldn't say it out loud, but did you have any of them say, tell me about this, you know, this is all I know, tell me about what you are talking about? Did you have any of those people come to you?
Yeah, I mean, I had it all the time in Silicon Valley and my friends and family, and
that's amazing.
And we have this blessing of, it's kind of cool because it's you know, most people have a lot harder job talking about their faith because it's not as obvious, which I actually think is a blessing. Like it's a lot cooler opportunity to witness to the Lord when you're not, you know, when people ask me what I do for a living, my answer is, you know, this, like I immediately go into my faith because it's Hallow. I'm working on Hallow. It changed my life and God brought me back to my faith. And so I get to talk to a lot of people about their faith. And so it's, you know, people who haven't gone to church in 10, 20, 30 years, people who have been questioning it, people who have real issues with stuff, people who, you know, maybe would call themselves Christian, but don't feel like they have like a living relationship with the Lord. And so, you know, there's a bunch of times folks in my family that would go through this where it's like, oh, okay, I know I'm supposed to go to church and I found a church and I do go to church because we went to church growing up. But like, what is this thing? Like, what's this prayer thing? Like the prayer thing was just the, you know, is it just the Our Father? Is there something deeper? And it's like, no, like there's this whole, I don't know. It's a crazy thing to like try to communicate. And I'm actually pretty bad at pitching Hallow, funnily enough, but it's like this whole, St. John of the Cross has this whole, like, when you realize what we're called to, like when you realize what is offered to us, it's like, how are we not all, how is this not our first thing? All of us, all the time. Like this, so I think his quote is something like, souls, oh souls, called to such states of grandeur, such great heights of grandeur, and invited to them by our Lord. What are you doing? How are you spending your time?
Yeah.
Like, why would you be doing anything else when you realize what is waiting for you in prayer, when you realize what is waiting for you in a relationship with the Lord?
Yeah.
But no, especially in Silicon Valley, there's a bunch of people who would be like, you know, it's, and you'd interact with, we would interact with folks like this all the time where it'd be like, you know, I take my faith seriously, but I'm kind of afraid to tell people because I'm not sure, maybe folks won't invest in me, or maybe the investors who invested in me won't continue to invest in me. And maybe people will think that I'm pushing my faith specifically. And, but then it's been really cool to watch over, you know, especially the last, so we started Hallow in 2018. Yeah. So really over the last 6 years or so, late 2018, so six, 7 years, And it's just like there's this whole shift, really, especially in Silicon Valley. But I would argue broadly. And we've had a bunch of folks who were like at the beginning were like, you know what, I'm Christian and I'm Catholic, but I'm not gonna like people don't know it.
Yeah.
And now they're like, you know what?
It's so crazy.
I'm not afraid of it. And it's kind of cool over it takes like, you know, it takes a couple of years. That's a big deal for a lot of folks, but it's cool to watch God work in their lives and take over more and more of it.
Amen.
Yeah, man. So like our faith is very almost like supernatural. And I've had some moments where I'm like, that can't be like normal. Like that's something different, you know? And I know you said that when you started the app, you started seeing things almost like visions. I can't remember what the exact thing that you had mentioned, something like you saw Jesus, you saw images when you're meditating, or if that's correct. Mm. Do you still, like when you when you speak to God, do you still get these kind of like visions? Do you have these extraordinary instances where it's like, wow, that's definitely
God talking?
That's
to
God
you.
Talking to me right there. Like, does that happen to you quite frequently, or is it just?
Yeah, it's it's funny because things were happening so much, both tactical life and in prayer, that I started keeping this little book, this little like brown journal. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like my version of the Old Testament, where I was just writing down the stuff that God had done for me and proved, like without a doubt, that he was there, that it was like, oh, this is obviously God.
Yeah.
And just so that I could go back and remember whenever I was going through a time of dryness or aridity or, you know, struggling or doubt or whatever. And it's filled up. I mean, it's a full book. It's a crazy, I mean, God does such, so your question has a bunch of pieces. Like, have I had, whether they would be explicit, whether there would be explicit visions or like hearing things or whatever. You know, I've certainly had things that come close in my own life that have shown, I believe they're from God, and show me, you know, things that I could never have seen otherwise. And at the same time, he's given like answers to things that, you know, we should, like, a funny example is like we were trying to decide what office we should rent. And it was like our first office, there's like 5-6 people on the team. And there's 3 co-founders, and one of them wanted to do a cheap office, and the other 2 of us wanted to do a fancy expensive office.
Yeah.
And we had all this rationale, and we were like, no, we should have a fancy one. We should, and we were like, all right, let's go pray about it. We're doing a prayer app. We probably should pray about the decisions we make. And so we went and we prayed about it. And the 2 of us that wanted the fancy office both heard very clearly in prayer. And it was through these Ignatian discernment methods. I mean, my co-founder actually had a friend call him and tell him. I forget which discernment thing I was doing. I think it was, we have this beautiful kind of playlist series of different prayer techniques in terms of how Ignatius guided discernment of these spirits.
Yeah.
And I just heard very clearly, get the cheap office. And it sucked because I wanted the nicer office. And and so we got the cheap office, and 2 weeks later, COVID started. And so we didn't use the office for 2 years.
Wow.
And so it was just, but I mean, I have literally 1,000 examples. Like 1,000 examples of that happening.
Yeah.
And it's just God making it so abundantly clear. Now, the interesting thing about prayer, the more you dive into it, is, you know, these supernatural things, which are, they're not common, but they happen a lot. I mean, if you read St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, the things they're talking about are, you know, like St. Teresa of Avila is like floating, and she's, you know, these crazy, like her body, these crazy things. So it's like the craziest things you could imagine. But I mean, it's God. So he can do whatever he wants. And when he wants to give you graces, he gives you like incredible graces. And it's not always emotional, or it's not always physical, like you feel it, or it's not always visual, or like you hear something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, for me, in contemplation, and contemplation is a journey too. So it's not just, you know, you're progressing through, St. Teresa of Avila would call this the interior castle, but you're progressing through these stages of trying to grow closer in union with the Lord. And I'm very much at the beginning and very much a sinner, but like, it doesn't always feel, I don't know, for me, there's this feeling of like lightness and freedom that I, you know, for me is like consolations.
Yeah.
And certainly some of it comes with visual things or things from the imagination or things in your mind that you might see that God might give you. But also at the same time, like, it's not actually all that important. And it's funny when you read you know, the folks who are really deep in this kind of contemplative and meditative life, what they'll say is like these, they'll call them consolations or desolations. Like consolations are these gifts that you might get in prayer, these spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. And desolations is like this dryness and this mm-hmm. aridity. And like, you feel like God isn't with you, or you feel separated from God, which mm-hmm. like Mother Teresa was separated from God, felt like in yeah. prayer, she was separated from God for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And people will look at that and be like, oh, like you're missing something. And the saints will actually say the exact opposite, which is like, the gifts are great and that's awesome. Like when you feel something or you see something, it's great. Now, you got to be careful because it can come from one of two things. It can come from the good guy and it can come from the bad guy. Yeah. So it's, you know, you got to discern it carefully.
That's,
and the only,
very important.
Yes.
The only real way you can discern it is, does it lead you to a life of better love?
Yes.
And, and you can use anything to lead you to a life of better love. But if it does, then it's from the good, like that, you know, the tree by its fruits, you know, prayer by its fruits. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what matters more, honestly, even more, is like when you when you're sitting there and you're praying and you feel like you're distracted and you don't see anything and you don't feel anything and you feel mm-hmm. like God's far away and you don't like, and you stay there in prayer and you're like, you know what, God, even if I'm not going to get any gifts here, even if you're not going to grace me with any consolations or any visions or any whatever, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to spend time with you and I'm going to praise you in this time. I'm going to give you this time and I'm going to give glory to you. And that to God means a lot more than when he gives you these incredible spiritual experiences.
Right.
And so it's funny, like we tend to, and in and they spend a lot of time really focused on this, where it's like God also often at the beginning of your journey will give you these really cool experiences. And for me, that was certainly the experience. It's like you get these crazy awesome things that's like, oh man, like to kind of entice you. It's like a little kid. It's like, okay, well, like let me give you a piece of chocolate because you're learning to ride your bike. But then like you gradually take the chocolate away, and what matters more and more to God is like, I want your heart. Like I want your heart to be mine. Mm-hmm. And I want it not to be mine because I give you gifts. I want it to be mine because you love me.
Because
and
you love me.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what the whole relationship is. It's like, yeah, it's about spending time. And he'll give you gifts and they'll be like, wait, but I mean, I would trade everything in my life for one of the gifts that he's given me. It's or one of these experiences in prayer. They're phenomenal. But like what it's about is giving yourself, not like not getting, you know,
not getting. Yeah,
100%.
Well, I mean, I to kind of go off what you're saying before, you've seen this resurgence. And I we know the people that you have on the app that come in and guest and they speak and I love them. Do you feel like that's something that is happening? Like, do you feel like we're kind of having this boom in Christianity where I would say it's okay. I said in one of my talks to a group, I said, it's okay to be Catholic. It's okay. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be shamed by it. But do you feel like you're seeing it, especially again, where I come from, or you come from the entertainment industry, where it's, you're in the sports industry, where you're seeing this kind of all glory to God first.
A lot of that,
they don't necessarily have to be Catholics, but they're Christian. And they're unafraid to say it on a national stage. Like, do you feel that's a real thing that's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it for like 6 years, but I don't think anybody believed me for the last, like the last 2 years. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think you start to see it with a bunch of, I mean, you can see it with a lot. You can see it with Hallow and folks really hungry for this like interior life. You can see it with The Chosen. You can see it with like Father Mike's Bible in a Year. You can see it with, you know, some music that's really phenomenal. Yes. That's new. Even this new David show is phenomenal on Amazon Prime. Is awesome. There's like there's a Barry movie on Netflix. I was talking to an actor in Hollywood, and he said he's been writing, producing, directing for 20 years, and he's never had a studio come to him and ask for anything faith oriented, and he's had five come to him in the last 6 months asking for faith based scripts.
Wow,
And like I'm a big college football fan, I'm a Notre Dame guy, and so we were at the Notre Dame Ohio State game, the championship.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Columbus, so it was an interesting game for me. The whole teams, both teams
the
went
coach.
Down. Every member of both teams went down to the end zone and knelt in prayer.
Yes,
it's amazing.
And it was like I've been to a handful of a bunch of college football games. I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Where both teams were so devoted to the Lord, like it's just at the core of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, for us, what we see is we have this incredible privilege of getting to journey with so many folks and hear what God is doing. And he's just doing miraculous things, like people who haven't been to church in decades, people who have been like really against the church, people who have been addicted, people who are in really dark, really tough places, and he's bringing them back. And he's not, you know, it's not a half-hearted bringing back. He's bringing them back, and it's their whole lives they're giving to the Lord. And so it's I don't know. I get really excited about it. I think there's something cool happening. We'll see what the good Lord does. It's I'm sure it's not the end of the end of the story, hopefully, yet. But I have a bit of work to do before he shows up again. So hopefully he gives me a little bit more time. But but yeah, I think there's something really cool happening. I mean, I feel like you can 100%. Feel it, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know we don't have you for that long. So I mean, I kind of wanted to end on this. I mean, if you're okay with that. What is the next thing or phase for Halo? And I was just like, I just have this sense, or maybe I'm wrong, that maybe you'll start making films, maybe, or it could grow into something bigger. Do you see Halo growing into something? I mean, it's amazing of what it is, but maybe diving into, because you're seeing Mel Gibson, you're seeing Mark Wahlberg, you're seeing these big names really kind of break away from Hollywood and kind of start their films, and their own production things. So I don't know if Halo is going down. Do you see it expanding to that, or are you just happy of what you're doing now, which is amazing?
I would love to have an answer to that. God only gives me like 4 or 5 weeks at a time. Okay. So, you know,
so you don't see like 20 years in the future.
I've tried before, but I usually get it wrong. He laughs at me. But you know, I think people are, Halo will always be focused on like your interior life and trying to help you to lead you to silence and to a relationship with the Lord. Yeah. You know, at the same time, hopefully, you know, prayer is not, Halo started really because I thought meditation wasn't prayer, and it is.
Yeah.
And so it started with this like, wait, prayer isn't the thing that's just vocal prayer or the things you memorized as a kid or like asking for stuff. Like it's this much broader, much more, much deeper thing than you could imagine.
Yeah.
And it expands across everything. Your whole life should be a prayer.
Yeah.
So for us, a lot of what we do is like, how can we bring prayer into everything? And so I think that extends to, it extends to like how you spend entertainment, how you, your time in entertainment. We have a bunch of music on the app. You have, you know, courses and sermons, and we have text-based stuff, and we have a little bit of video stuff and adding a bit more. And so it's for us, it's this combination of like, how can we reach out to let God reclaim more and more of our lives and at the same time stay really focused. I think you know, we don't want to build like 17 things and build them poorly. We want to build one thing and do it really, really well. And so that's a balance. But you know, for us, it's a little bit of like, hey, if God invites us to do something, or if he has some opportunity for us, then we'll, you know, give it a try. We're doing something really cool for Easter this year, leading up to Easter this week, which will be on video. And, and it's just, gosh, it's a beautiful, and it is kind of this combination of how could you have some entertainment, but it really is leading you to prayer.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited for that. I think folks will, I love it. And so, you know, I think folks will love it. And so if we continue to invest in that, but for me, it really does come down to, you know, it's the same thing that I say all the time, but it really does come down to this, like, I think there's a lot of people who are really lost. I think there's a lot of people who are really struggling.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people that God's trying to reach out to. And like, if we can be some small part in God reaching out to somebody and giving them his love and like wrapping his arms around them, somebody who like really needs it.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. That'd be like a really cool way to spend the next decade of my life working on that. So, but yeah, I'm pretty bad at the future seeing.
Okay. I get that. No, I truly believe that too. It's like, we are in a very dark place in some, you know, aspects, but you know, not to be preachy and not to overdo it, but there are people that have come to me and say, Sarah, can you teach me how to pray the rosary? And these are people who have never done it before. Can you pray with me or show me how to do this? And it's just beautiful. And in your app, I mean, I've just watched it grow and just expand. And my husband takes it to the fire station with him, and he's sharing it with his firefighters. It's amazing. It's just
awesome, man.
You know, just being in prayer, being in love, and you know, we always say our goal is to get to heaven and see each other in heaven and get our children into heaven. And so that's kind of our mission.
Yeah, that's a pretty good goal. That's a pretty good goal.
I guess so, right? Yeah.
But as good as you can get.
Yeah, well, it was it was such a pleasure talk. I hope we can do this again. I don't want to take any more of your time, but yeah.
Thank you so much for sitting with us, man.
Yeah. No, this was such a blessing. Thank you so much for having me on. And ask your mom to pray for me if she wouldn't mind.
She will do it nonstop. Amen.
You can count on that.
All right, Alex. Well, God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
God bless you guys. Have a good one.
God bless you.
Take
care, man.
Bye-bye.